This is FNX.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Drawing Heat, and the time is now! Hit the music!
Haha, you're very funny, fat boy.
I think it's nice of you to call Beige a Disney queen.
These two are definitely not dumb.
And now, here are your hosts, Beige and the Dude.
Hello and welcome to Drawing Heat. I am the Beige, and sitting right opposite me is no one. The Dude is currently off on holiday in New Zealand, fighting orcs and looking for hobbits and all that other stuff that happens over there. I'm not too sure. Maybe he's off snowboarding, ripping up some powder. I don't know. Look, we wanted to release something over the summer for you guys, but seeing we couldn't do anything new, we decided to go back into our archives to find our favourite show from 2016 that we released before we came over to Wrestle Radio Australia. And it's with someone who's been on WRA a couple of times, he's been on Healing Out as well, and it is Melbourne's own Mr. Juicy. This is our favourite show that we did. It was also our first interstate guest that we had on the show that we were pretty happy about. It's one of our favourites. We hope you enjoy it too. And we'll be back with brand new content coming up later in January, hopefully. Until then, thanks very much for hitting that download button, and we'll catch you later. Enjoy Mr. Juicy.
Attention wrestlers and promoters down under. Do you want quality merchandise? Do you need a new poster or logo? South Australia's WrestleMerch Printing is here for you. With a decade in the graphic design business, their clients, just to name a few, include TMDK, Chris Basso, The Millennials, Damian Slater, Kellyanne, Jimmy Havoc, and promotions such as EPW Perth and Hunter Valley Wrestling. Oh, and they took care of us here at Wrestle Radio Australia too. WrestleMerch will design your artwork and screen print it on premium AS colour tees one by one to ensure precision and quality. If you already have artwork, just bring it on over and they can work with that too. Once it's all done, pick it up from their Adelaide office, or if you're NBT in SA, have them sent to your door. Postage charges do apply. To take advantage of their friendly, collaborative, world-class service, send a message to the WrestleMerch Printing Facebook page and be sure to mention you heard all about it on Wrestle Radio Australia.
It is the day of EPW Collision Course. We're here at Body Slam Central. And we have with us, we're pretty happy with this, our first interstate guest.
Oh, that's awesome.
With an international flavour.
Flavours.
Flavours. Mr. Juicy, Gino Gambino, is here with us.
Thank you for having me. What a pleasure.
Mate, thank you for actually messaging us saying, guys, I'm going to be in Perth.
Do you want to do something? Yeah. I'll always get on the microphone. I don't give a shit. Yeah. Put me on. If it's about me, I'll listen. I always say, when anyone puts up a podcast, I always comment, is it about me or am I mentioned? No. Why am I listening?
Who cares?
Why do I care about some other retard who does the same thing I do? Oh, I did a road trip once and it was cool. All right. Yeah, I did that too. I don't want to hear about it.
That is one of the things we got told when we first started doing this show. They said, you'll have no problems getting guests because wrestlers love talking about themselves.
Do we ever.
Or hearing about themselves.
But honestly, when I used to do a podcast back in the day, we used to find the more shit we talked about people, the more listeners we got. Because I'd be like, can you believe they said that about you? And then they'd share it. It was awesome. And then I didn't get booked for 2 years. But that's a different story.
Speaking of getting booked, man, you broke in the business back in 2005, right?
Yeah, 2005 I started. And I was sort of like impromptu. I was wrestling some dark matches for PWA, which was probably the bigger company on the Eastern Seaboard at the time. And they pulled me up for my first match and they're like, listen, we want you to have a mediocre match if you can. And I'm like, sure, that's something I can probably do. And it was to lead in a storyline about like rookies rebelling against the older guys. But yeah, 2005, and then I sort of had a sabbatical, if you will. Is that the word? I'm going to say words that don't mean the meanings. Just feel free to correct me. But no, I had a...
None of our listeners know any of those.
So, yeah, good.
Were you saying that you had a break?
I had a break.
Okay, cool. You got the right word. Awesome.
I had a break for about a year in 2009, 2010. So about 11 years counting that year off, I guess. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, who trained you? Can you start there?
Jay Andrews, who's wrestling tonight.
Yeah,
he trained me as well as Lobo. But Jay Andrews probably had 95% of the sort of, I guess you can blame him for me.
Oh, okay.
And I guess I've been to a few training schools since, and I've got to admit, he's the first person that's ever really broken down psychology of wrestling. A lot of people don't realise there is an art to wrestling. Anyone can do a bump and a shoulder tackle and a clothesline, but finding a reasoning to doing those things is really something difficult to teach. And he taught you from day one, and I think that's why I've been so successful in the different characters I've done, is because I've made them make sense. I haven't just been like, oh, I'm just doing this thing now where I do this. Well, that's cool and all, but it's not going to get me rebooked. So I can pretty much thank him for where I am at the moment.
Yeah, speaking of your characters and things like that, I was reading in a little article from the Miami... No, I was going to say Miami Herald. It's the Herald Sun.
Miami Herald?
The Miami Herald. I'm way off.
Yeah, that's okay.
But the Herald Sun, talking about you breaking into the business. Yep. You're a Stone Cold and Rock fan to start with.
Yeah, definitely.
Anybody else influence?
Probably Triple H. I really like Triple H as a kid. I didn't know other wrestling existed, so Japanese stuff and Canadian stuff and Mexican stuff. I knew it was there, but I didn't know anyone. It wasn't until probably about 2008 I discovered Kenta and Noah, and I fell in love. I was like, this guy's amazing. Like, he's kicking the shit out of people. He wrestled Kenta Kobashi after he came back from, like, his cancer scare, and I was just like, this, I've never known this world. And that's when I tried to do super kicks and all that slap of the legs and all that stuff. I thought it was cool. Punch people real hard. That's wrestling. And
well, that's, it was only about maybe 5 years ago or so that I started getting into all the other international, other Japanese stuff and Mexican stuff and trying to track it down.
And it's so different. And it was hard, I guess. I mean, even though we had the internet, you really had to look for it. Yeah. There was no New Japan world. There wasn't a network. You had to, like, tape trading had stopped, so even you couldn't even get, like, old Canadian stuff, so you sort of had to look for it, and I found it. And I can say, like, sort of midway through when it came to Japanese stuff, Ebisan, Kikitaro, and, you know, that sort of group of guys started, made me think, hold on, comedy wrestling's pretty cool too.
Mm.
So they influenced that side, where if you go back to old WWF, WWE stuff, it was definitely Triple H, The Rock, Stone Cold were the ones I didn't want to be them, but they made me like wrestling.
Yeah, they had that special something you can tap into and kind of relate to, as far as I don't know. In the Attitude Era, I was about 22 years old when that kicked off, and that whole era just spoke to me being
of course, you
know, fuck the authority, fucking Stone Cold, throw the fingers in the air, take the piss out of people, be The Rock, and then be a badass dumbass like Triple H.
I guess the thing is, being younger, I was probably only that era, I was also probably like 15. So I sort of saw it as more, it was just entertaining to watch. It was different, you know, to what was on television. Like, I didn't really like the Hogan era. I didn't like the big guy, you know, with the blonde hair just doing big punches and a leg drop. I liked this new sort of on top of him beating up, because MMA didn't exist. Well, it did, but it wasn't popular.
Yeah.
Like, UFC 1 and 2 were, like, in a shitty cage taped on VHS, so no one cared. So to see a bit more of that, like, a bit more of the blood and the gore and the guy on top of the other, like, it was believable.
It was intense. Yeah. The Hogan era had lacked a lot of intensity, unless you're in the top-line feuds, like with your Hogans and Sanders and things like that.
But I was always surprised. When I watch it back now, I'm like, how did people follow this and think it was, I'm not going to say real, because it is real, but how do they follow it and with so much believability? Yeah. And now watch it these days and go, poof, he didn't even touch him. No, he fucking did.
Yeah.
He just literally put him to sleep, and you're telling me that he didn't. And then you watch Hogan, and Hogan's fucking swinging wildly, and everyone's meant to be like, oh, but
boy.
And like I talk to people at work, whenever you tell people, oh, look, I'm a wrestler, they go, oh, it used to be real back in the day. I'm like, how can you watch then and now and then say it was better then?
Yeah. Maybe he's talking about George Hackenschmidt and Ed Strangler Lewis or some shit.
Do you get my point?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's so, like, you watch it now and you're just like, how do you believe that? But now you see guys who are so athletic and talented and say to them, oh, they just faking it. What are they faking exactly?
Yeah.
They're putting on a show. They're not faking it. That's the biggest thing that, I guess, with you being a pro wrestler yourself, and even us being lifelong fans, have to always, not defend, but just kind of explain to people how it's not fake, it's predetermined, and it's a show.
It's full contact theatre.
Yeah, that's pretty good way to put it, but my feeling is I feel WCW is what killed that sort of aspect of, it's a sport, because what happened is you had guys, Hogan, Nash and Hall, running whatever they wanted to. They literally did whatever they wanted to do. And some, like, RoboCop broke Sting out of a jail. To me, that's...
Oh, God, that was gold.
That's when people are going, hold on a second.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem legitimate. Yeah. Or, you know, like, Ready to Rumble came out, and then Dave Arquette was the fucking champ. Like, you get me? That's when people are going, now you're making fun of me.
Yeah.
And that's when they're going to walk away and be offended and feel like it's fake.
That's what happened with WCW.
I agree. And I think WCW is to blame for that sort of generation of people who are going, how can you take this legitimately? You couldn't back then. You can't tell me that was legitimate.
Yeah, not with David Arquette running around with a big belt.
Yeah, exactly, and cages on top of cages on top of cages.
Yeah, like people doing crazy bumps off the top of the Tower of Doom or whatever that thing was
called. You get me? Like, it was just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
OTT.
Now, you say that you're a fan of the Japanese wrestling. Now, something happened yesterday.
Yes!
That I spotted on Facebook last night, and... Well, do you want to lead?
I'll tell the story from the start. Yeah. I was working a show in Adelaide for Wrestle Rampage, and I bring out a Japanese guy, and there was a bit of secrecy of who it was, and so this was only 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I was three, and I thought it was Kenta because I knew Jag like Kenta, I knew J Rock had worked Kenta. I'm like, so I think it's Kenta, and I was telling him I'm a big Kenta fan, so I messaged the promoter, and I'm like, who are you guys bringing out? And he's like, oh, it's Nakamura, and I'm like,
oh,
who? Never heard of him. I'll be honest to God. Yeah. Never heard of the bloke.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, no, he's great. He's like, you should watch his stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll have a view. And I watched him versus Brock Lesnar, watched him versus Kurt Angle. And I'm like, oh, he's kind of cool. Because he wasn't doing a gimmick then. He was just like a shoot fighter.
Yeah.
Strong style. Like, cool. Yeah, I'll see what it's like.
I hadn't heard of him until, Wrestle Kingdom 9 last year. When I watched that, I was like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
Who is he? He's awesome.
So,
let's look him up.
So he comes and he was so polite. He was so funny. He was really nice to everyone. I'm like, I really like this guy. So I watched him versus Damien Slater, and I'm like, holy shit, this guy is outstanding.
He beat the piss out of Slater then.
He did beat the piss out of Slater. And then I watched him the next night, and I'm like, I went home. I went back to my hotel that night and watched more of his stuff, more of his recent stuff. I'm like, this guy's outstanding. Like, this guy's... I watched Wrestle Kingdom 8, where he came out with the strippers, and I'm like... He's perfect. He's perfect. How is not everyone not this man? That's what I can understand. So then the next night I was a bit more confident with him, so I was having a bit of a laugh with him and all joking around. And at the end of the show he was getting photos with fans, and he took a photo with one fan, and I stood behind him and did his trademark finger in the mouth in the air like that. And he turned around and caught me. And he had a look on his face, and I honestly thought to myself, I'm going to get the piss beat out of me by this bloke. I honestly did. I'm like, he is a tall, strong man.
Yeah.
He's going to kill me. He grabbed my belly and shook it up so then he goes, aha, you're very funny, fat boy. And I'm like, this man is my new hero. Completely. And from then, I just followed him religiously. And I'll be the first to admit, I stole a lot of his things that I thought I could do. I don't do them very well.
Like but the whole
his entrance, and stuff like that. And I just... And it wasn't like a piss take to him. It was almost like a homage. I wanted to be like, this is because I love you.
Yeah.
Like, I will drink your wee. That's how much I love you. As I only say that because that's what I see on... we'll get to in a sec. Cash, Henton Royce's Instagram. Fans write some disgusting... One fan wrote, I want to drink your pee. Who the fuck... Do they think she's going to read that and go, that's
sweet,
the one for me?
I'll send him a jar.
I'll ring him up. Dude, that pee you wanted. Like, she's a respectable woman. What's wrong with you, fuckwits? Like, how dumb can you be?
No, there are some fucktards on the social medias. You see them on the girls' pages. And
it's disgusting. So anyway, Nakamura gets signed to WWE.
Yeah.
Now, I heard it as a rumor after Wrestle Kingdom, and I'm like, surely not. Like, surely he's not going to... Because he's got a young family. He's got, like, young girls.
Yeah.
He's, you know, they're in school. I just didn't think he was going to leave to go work NXT. Not that there's anything wrong with NXT, but you got to remember, he's a megastar at New Japan.
Oh, yeah.
He's on top dollar. You're not going to, and you're going to remember, this is a fucking business at the end of the day. You're making money.
Yeah.
You're not going to go, hey, I'm going to leave my management position at Safeway to go work for Coles because I like their chips better. You get me? You just...
Safeway is Woolworths.
Woolworths. Yeah. Whatever.
We don't have
Safeway Victoria anymore either. Okay. But I grew up with Safeway, okay, so it's fucking Safeway.
It's our food lands then.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Exactly. It's whatever. It's fucking Safeway.
From one supermarket to another rival supermarket.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, and he did. And I was shocked by it, but I knew Cass Penton-Royce and Jesse McKay were there. I went and caught up with him in Orlando last year.
Yeah.
I'm like, Nakamura's coming. They're like, oh, we don't know. We haven't heard much. We think so. And I went to an NXT show, which was great. Long story short, this got nothing to do with it. Yesterday, this is how the story goes. Penton-Royce, I call it, it's Peyton, isn't
Peyton,
it?
Yeah.
I call it
Peyton.
I'm dyslexic, so bear with me. Peyton's in the car with Nakamura driving to NXT. And she goes, oh, I know Jag. You worked with him. Yep, I know Jag. He turned around and goes, you know the Juicy then. And I'm not even... I wish I was lying because it's so unbelievable.
Wow.
And she went, yeah, I tagged with him. He's like, ah, funny. And I'm like, I wrote to her, I go, don't fuck with my life. Don't you dare lie to... And she's like, no, that's what he said to me. You know the Juicy. And she's like... because I just posted a photo of me and her from, like, it was in, like, my memories on this day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was me bent over with my ass out and her face laughing. And I'm like, and now you're into WWE. And she goes, oh, he just sent me this. She goes, let's Snapchat him.
Oh.
So she goes, check your Snapchat. And I was with a couple of guys at work. I'm like, oh, she sent me a Snapchat. Should be something funny.
Yeah.
And it played. And all it is Nakamura's face. And I've gone, holy fuck. And then it clicked to me. It's a fucking video. Okay, so something's... And he goes, Juicy. And I'm like, my heart stopped. Everything went dead silent.
Yep, I'm Juicy now.
And he goes, hey, I love your gimmick, man. And I'm like, what? Huh? And she's like, bye, Juicy. And I'm like, huh? What happened? What? And I'm like... No, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And
I've only got one more replay of this. What do I do?
I didn't replay it because I was like, looking at my phone. What? Like lemon grab. what? Fuck. And I'm like, and the guy I work with is a wrestling fan. He's like, that didn't happen just then, did it? I'm like, no, I think it happened. And he's like, holy fuck. And I went outside. I was like, what? Huh?
Hyperventilating.
Like, did he just say, Juicy, I love your gimmick? Like, that's not a real... And that's when I asked her what happened. She said, he said, you know, the Juicy. And he wrote back to me on Snapchat saying, keep the mustache, because I used to have a mustache when I wrestled. And I'm like...
I remember that.
I messaged my fiance. I'm like, I'm growing a fucking mustache. The biggest mustache you've ever fucking seen in your life, bitch. I'm telling you fucking now. And yeah, so that's pretty much... And I was... I'm really hard on myself. I'm probably my biggest critic. So for someone of his stature to A, remember who the fuck I am when I've met him once and wrestled in front of him once, and B, him go, I love your gimmick, to me, they're the biggest compliments I've ever had in my life.
How could it not be?
Because I've seen a million and one wrestlers, and I remember I've got a really bad memory. I've been hit in the head a lot, so that's not even a lie. I got knocked out in playing soccer in high school, and I've had a bad memory ever
since. It just went from there. That was before you were even wrestling.
Before I was even wrestling, so it's even worse now. So I remember a lot of faces, but I don't remember much wrestling. So I'm not a good wrestler by any fucking means. Like, I'm terrible.
That's debatable.
Oh, we'll get there.
You will get that.
But the fact he's gone, hey, this guy's gimmick is so memorable that I am now gone from Wrestle Kingdom New Japan to WWE, and I've gone, oh, that fat guy from Adelaide. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's blown me away. And I told her, please don't, because I'm going to tell everyone this story, don't. And she's like, no, that's what he said.
That is unbelievable, man. I mean, how can you think, oh, I'm not that good at thing when you've got fucking Shinsuke Nakamura, of all people, saying, I like you. I like your gimmick. Keep it up. You're great.
Yeah, like, a lot of guys say, oh, I like to stay humble. I'm not trying to stay humble. I will fucking praise myself when I think so. Like, I had a match last year with Dowie James that I will fucking talk about every day until the fucking sun comes down.
Yeah, he's going to bring that one up.
Yeah, we will. We'll talk about it later. But I say that because I had fans come up to me in Adelaide and go, we drove over for that match, and it's the best match we've seen live. Now, that's in a show with guys like Damien Sater, J-Rock, Jag, Havoc, and they're talking about my match in Melbourne. To me, that's saying something.
Definitely.
Is that the match that was on Weekend Warriors 2?
No, I don't think the match was on. Was it? I don't know. Listen, again, bad memory. So it may have been.
I'm sure.
Is it me stressing out backstage?
Yeah.
Yeah, then probably.
Probably. I remember that there was something to do with you and Derry James for a belt.
Yes, that's the match.
That was the Intercommonwealth title tournament final.
I was trying to remember what it was called, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about, as I said, I'll just talk and you guys just have to listen. So, I'll break the fourth...
story of our life.
I'll break the fourth wall a little bit and talk about how that sort of came along.
By all means, go for it. That's, we don't exactly work kayfabe here.
Yeah, yeah. So I was working for MCW at the time and I dropped about 40 kilos, so I felt pretty fit. I felt really happy with where I was going. I'd worked here in a four-way, and I'd sort of done a bit of Adelaide gig, and I thought I was improving myself immensely at this stage. Again, humble as fuck, aren't I? So I'm like, I sort of went to the bookers of MCW. I'm like, I want something a bit more, and they're like, we don't really have anything for you. Now, in my mind, I thought it's because they didn't like me. It was because of my behaviour. I'm a bit of a fucking dickhead. I'll be honest with you. I can't control myself because as anxious as I am, I need to be centre of attention at the same time. So while there's a fucking meeting, as you know, before the show, I'm like, dickhead.
Yeah.
Right? Have a look at me. Dick's out. Mangina, look at me. While people are trying to do work. Right?
Yeah.
Let's be honest, this is work. Okay?
Yeah.
So they said to me no, and I'm like, well, fuck them, I'm going to rebel, I'm going to do fucking something stupid. Fuck, David Storm just said
David Storm's a dick, isn't he?
Fuck. So
by the way, fans, David Storm's like 10 feet behind us.
Fuck him. So I did something, I won't say what it was, but I did something really stupid at a big show.
Mm-hmm.
Something I probably shouldn't have done. I guess I can sort of tell you what it was. I won't go into too much details who was involved, but I was in a battle royal, which is our big battle royal of the year. It's almost like our Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided I wasn't getting my fucking 5 minutes, even though I was in the final three.
Yep.
So I'm going to hang around. So I just hung around outside, drinking fans' beer, chatting, while the fucking finish is happening and the bloke's going over.
Ah, okay.
Now, I didn't do it to disrespect him. I did it more to vent my frustration.
Yeah.
Then, at the end of the show, they were like, Elliot Sexton was winning the belt, wins the belt. I'm Elliot Sexton's good friend.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to run out there and celebrate with him. And I pretty much got a pull on my tights and said, if you go out there, you won't be back.
Ooh.
And I'm like, okay. That was probably enough warning for me. Then I got pulled up a show later, and they were like, You fucked up. And I was like, no, I was just fucking it. And they're like, no, you got to pull your head in or you're gone. And I'm like, ooh, okay, I didn't really think that was that serious.
Hmm.
And that's when I reevaluated what I wanted from wrestling. I stepped back and I said, I can either keep being a dick, which has not worked for me my whole fucking life, or I can actually put some work in and try and improve all aspects, not just my wrestling, but myself and how I feel about the promotion. Because I want the promotion MCW to be successful.
Yeah.
That's what I want, because that's my home promotion. I want to be able to walk into that door and it's always 800 to 1,000 people who are just enjoying wrestling. That's what I want out of
it. They are what we consider to be the three biggest promotions in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And that's what I want. I want it to be the biggest. Even though I'm here today, today I want EPW to be the biggest.
Yeah.
Everywhere I work, I want it to be the biggest and the best. And that's
I do theatre as well, and that's the thing. You want whatever show that you are part of, you want it to be the show. You want it to be the one that everyone is talking about the next day.
I mean, let's talk about wrestlers as a whole. This is how I say it. You're a fucking subcontractor.
Yep.
The promotion is trying to build a house, okay? They've laid down the fucking concrete foundation and you're the fucking plasterer. Now, if you're going down to a shitty fucking plaster job, that house is going to fall down and it's going to go to shit and they're not going to call you to come back and plaster their house, okay? So I'm helping you build this fucking house. I'm going to give you the best of my ability. I'm going to build this house in the best, so then when it's upstanding, I can say, I helped build that house and I'm going to come over for a fucking cup of coffee.
That's a good analogy.
See how good I am, Dave?
I like it. Wasn't listening.
That's also the first time David Storm said he's liked anything.
Yeah, that's... So we So anyway, so this tournament came up, and I was pretty eager to be in the final or in some capacity. And they were umming and ahhing because they're like, why should we reward you for your bad behaviour? Mm. So I really improved. Well, I tried to improve what I was doing. And they noticed that, and they said, okay, we're happy for you to go to the final. But that final match is, if you fuck it up, we're really not going to trust you again. Mm. Not in the sense of not trust me to wrestle, but not trust me to sort of say, well, this is what I like, and they say yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'd like to do the final. And they're like, cool. So we get to the final, and it's against Dowie James, and I hadn't worked Dowie James since 2007.
Okay.
But we've known each other since 2005. Yep. Like, I walked in the first day and met Dowie James at PWA. And him and I came to agreement that we're going to fucking have match of the night no matter what. In fact, we're going to have match of the fucking year no matter what.
Yep.
So I had some problems at work at this stage, and I had to go to America for a reason. I went. So my 3 weeks of preparation up to this show was being in the US eating pizza and donuts. That's so not the best preparation. Yeah. All I remember is taking a photo of myself in the gym the one time I went and sent it to a few people and went, I'm still, the match is coming.
You should have taken several photos at different angles just over the next couple of days.
Different t-shirts.
Sending them out. Yeah.
And I'm like, and then my fiance said to me, are you nervous about the match? I'm like, nah, it should be fine. As the plane landed in Melbourne, I went, fuck, the match is this weekend. I've done nothing. And I'm like, I'm scared. And I spoke to a few people, and they're like, you have to do this. I'll be there, one of them being him, and I'll get you through it. And I'm like, okay, cool, let's do this. So I rocked up on the day, spoke to Dowie. The promoter pulled me aside, or the booker, and he goes, you better fucking do this because this is what you wanted, so don't fucking let me down. And I'm like, whew, I don't perform well under pressure, to tell you the truth.
Nothing like a bit of a pep talk before the night, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that booking is the reason why MCW is so successful, because it's a no-bullshit approach.
Takes no crap. Mm-hmm.
It's not about even not taking crap. He's respected, and he does things, and we do them. And that's what it has to be. He's the boss at this stage. He's being paid to put a show together, so you fucking oath you're going to listen to him.
Yeah.
And I think, I'll go off track for a second. I think that's why a lot of promotions fail, because you'll go into the locker room and it feels like the substitute teacher's running the show.
Yeah.
We'll get it done, but really, we're not going to listen to you, nor could we give a fuck, and I'll just do my own thing.
Yeah.
How is that meant to work? Again, we're building a house here, and you've got someone going, don't worry about the concrete, we'll just fucking put the walls up. Oh, hold on a second.
Put the bricks in, use some plasticine in there.
Yeah, we'll be right. Yeah. It got done, but the house will fall down eventually. Mm. Anyway, so me and Dowie went out there. And I'll be honest, we didn't do anything overly special. I think our biggest spot was like he did like a fucking springboard off the middle of the rope and I caught him in an RKO. I think that was the biggest spot we did in the sense of like high spots. And we got the This Is Awesome. We got the all these chants. At one stage, I was chanting, we don't know who to cheer for because we're both faces. Yeah. And I remember laying on the ground after that RKO and going, fuck, we've absolutely done this. And I was getting a bit sort of, I knew the finish was coming and I'm a bit sort of hyperventilating. Finish happens, he gets the pin, big fucking pop. And I sort of grabbed him and we both looked at each other and I've never hugged a man so passionately before. Like, we felt like we went out and did this job. And just fucking knocked it out of the park. Yep. We achieved it. And I went and sat on the ramp. Edwin, the ref, bent down and goes, you all right? And I just went, and just cried. And I don't know why, but I felt like it was the weight loss, the fucking coming back from the dead. Like, I had not been booked properly until I'd come back to MCW. You know, it was 3 years of fucking hard work, plus the fucking other 8 years I've been wrestling, all came into one night, and it was successful. And I got backstage, and there was friends there, and we hugged and chatted, and I was just like, holy shit. I'm like, I can't believe I did it. And then, I won't say his name because I know he likes kayfabe, but someone big in our country came down the stairs, was on the show, and he looked at me and goes, ah, I just watched pro wrestling. And I was like, that's fucking a pretty big compliment.
Yeah. Awesome.
He watched pro wrestling. You hear me? That's the first time I felt like a wrestler in 11 years.
And
so,
it's definitely not something that gets thrown around a lot nowadays either.
And we did an awards night at the end of the year. Dowie and I got match of the year. And fans were like, yep, that's what it should have been. There was no doubt. There was no one going, oh, but what about... It was like, yep, that's we 100% agree. And again, it was so much emotion. Him and I were so emotionally invested. There was one stage, we had a spot where we were slapping the shit out of each other. And we just kept going and we're just hitting each other harder and harder. There was no point where I was like, oh, this is shit. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, motherfucker. We're doing this. So, yeah, that's. Have I grambled too much? I feel like I have.
No. So was that award, like, was that what validated that build up, or was that just the icing on the cake?
That was the icing on the cake.
We've nailed it, and that was just like, it's like a cherry on top.
It was a cherry on top. It meant a lot, don't get me wrong, but what validated it for me, was hugging Dowie and just that both of us having that same feeling, because we both spoke about it later, that we both just went, fuck, we just did exactly what we had to do. That was probably the validation for me, was someone of his. You got to remember, a lot of people don't probably hold Dowie as high as he should be held. He's been wrestling a very long time and he's very good at what he does. So when we did that and I felt like his equal for the first time, that was the validation for me.
During that match, did you guys, the way you've been describing it, did you guys have like a sense of disbelief? Like both of your characters were in that moment?
It was real.
Excuse me, yeah, real deal.
We both wanted to win that belt. Simple. I know everyone's like, oh, but it's pretty. We both wanted to win that.
So that's kind of when it goes away from just a scripted wrestling match to a proper, it's where the proper sport almost comes into it.
Absolutely. It's still a competition. And I always say to people, sometimes you need someone. You know, like going back to EPW, Shane had Mike, The Rock had Austin, you know, Sean had Brett. Everyone's got someone that just pushes them that little bit extra, and that people go, I want to see them two go at it. And him and I feel we have that now. You know, Jermaine has J-Rock. J-Rock has Jag. Yeah. Jag had Havoc. You know, like everyone's got someone. And to have that is pretty. To have that now makes me feel more of a wrestler than anything he ever has.
Yeah, I think tonight, with the possibility of Marcus Pitt facing maybe Damian Slater later on, I think those two maybe have the same
definitely.
Connection as well, because they can go out at those two.
And you know, Marcus Pitt and Slater, I mean, they're rated, but I feel like they should be held in such more high regard. Mm. Like everyone does, everyone goes at Slater and Marcus Pitt, but I just feel like I don't know how to explain it. How they're not
they
both
don't get the dues that they that
yeah
they
how they're both not deserve. On television in some country astounds me.
But that's the thing, like when you work, that thing like, if I was doing the show with someone other than this fella sitting here next to me,
it'd suck less, doesn't it?
I don't know if it would be as good as this, because when you are working with someone who is, you know, they are your friend, you know that they work well together. You know, and that's what I was saying with Slater and Pitt. That thing, they made, when they came on the show at Reawakening, they had no problem saying, you know, we are, you know, we're best friends, you know, we're looking forward to going out there. Same as like, you know, when I've done theatre, when I've done shows with my mate, it's like, good, he's on the cast as well. Do we have a scene together? Great. That scene is going to kill it.
Yeah, of course.
That's going to be the bit that, you know, that we want to work with.
Totally.
Especially those sex scenes.
Yes.
Oh, Tim and I, fantastic. Absolute magic.
Hardcore sex.
Yeah.
I feel like you've got more. Theater. You've got a whole book of notes here.
No, it's okay.
Because otherwise I'll keep talking about the same thing.
We've already covered the Dowie James bit, which is kind of, I was going to lead into it with going about, there's a lot of wrestlers around that can either work comedy or they work serious stuff.
Yep.
There's a few that we have in here, like your opponent tonight, Scotty Ryan.
Yep.
Can go from comedy, but also he can switch to the serious side. They have the drop of a hat, and you can go, wow, this guy is killer. I feel like you're in the same sort of boat, because you worked a lot of comedy type of style matches and things like that, but you also, obviously, the match with Dowie.
Mm.
You've had matches against Chris Weiss, Marcus Pitt.
Yep.
And you've done very well and beaten a lot of them as well.
I feel
you can do that same sort of
thing. Well, I think that's what you need to do. I think you need to be versatile in wrestling. When I first started, I wanted to do comedy, but I just didn't think it was what was wanted at the time, so I used to do serious stuff, and I wasn't very good at it. But you need to be versatile. You can't. You need to be. This is what I say to new guys. When you go to a promotion that's on television, they don't go, oh, what can you do? Oh, you're a face, are you? That's really awesome. Now do go do your gimmick. No, they go, hey, tonight you're a heel and your name's Cowboy Bob Jack and you have to be a fucking cowboy and finish with a moonsault.
Yeah.
Never done one. Oh, fucking well.
Yeah. Learn.
Learn real quick.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to be able to go. I need to be able to walk into any promotion, them to say, hey, listen, our champion needs to go over tonight. He needs to look like this. Can you do that? Yes. You just have to be able to. That's wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah.
As again, subcontractor, you need to be able to fill in the void. Now, here in Australia, and when you have yourself a gimmick, of course the promoter's going to be like, well, I like his stuff, so I'll bring him over, and you just do your thing. But as a new guy, you need to be able to walk into any position on that card from top to bottom and be like, just do this. Yep, cool, yeah. I can do that.
I think it's a testament to yourself, though. We can go from 1 week doing a musical chairs fucking gimmick to the next week, you know, having the match of the year with Dowie Jones.
Yeah, and that's, but that's, again, versatility, because that show when I'm doing the musical chairs gimmick called for a musical chairs gimmick.
Yeah.
Simple. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think some people sometimes paint themselves into a corner and they're like, oh, this is what I do. I'm the big, tough, bruiser guy and I beat people up. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, mate, you're not the best at it and you look like shit. Maybe you're going to try something else. No, that's who I am. This is me, turned up to 11. Austin said that once in a shoot. Everyone fucking says it. Oh, it's just me turned up to... No, it's not. Okay,
it's you turned up to dickhead.
Yeah, you just do your job. That's all I can say. This is work. Go out there and do your job. And I know this sounds really hypocritical for me, because 3 years ago I would have been like, oh, who gives a fuck? But I'm telling you, I've woken up. But I've seen the fucking light.
Yeah, you've changed the way you're
you have to.
So you've got to give yourself credit for that. And also
I'll give myself plenty of credit, don't worry. At least once
you're,
a day.
You're a humble son of a bitch, we know that. Yeah. But you do, seriously, you do have to give yourself a lot of credit for what you're able to do.
I appreciate it, and that means a lot. And as I said, that's why that Nakamura snap actually meant a lot. He's like, oh, good gimmick. I'm like, well, obviously I'm doing something right. But you need to hear it sometimes, and sometimes you also need to be told you're shit. And don't worry, I've got a circle of people who happily tell me that I'm doing the wrong thing. But again, that's, I mean, I don't know if you guys give advice on this show, but I will. For new guys starting out, don't corner yourself. Don't feel like you have to be that person that you dreamt of being, because you'll eventually get there. I'm going to steal something from... edit that bit.
That's in.
Oh, fuck, I forgot it.
you're going to steal something from David Storm.
What's it? Fuck, he said something.
You can't remember what he said now.
It's almost like Mick Foley wanting to be Dude Love, but he had to be 11 years worth of Cactus Jack first.
Do you get my point? Like,
exactly.
I'm more than happy for anyone to have this dream, but that's what I was going to say. If you walk in, you first started as a rookie and you're in trunks, boots, and you're like, I am championship material, and because you're a new guy, you job out a lot, why am I going to believe you when you do the exact same thing in the fucking main event? The reason why people believed I was going to be Dowie is because I eventually got to that person.
Yeah.
I eventually became Mr. Juicy in the Rusev tights.
Yeah.
I didn't go, I'm Mr. Juicy in the Rusev tights and I do fucking my bum in your face. I didn't put my ass in Dowie's face that match.
No.
I teased it by running into him backwards into a corner.
Yeah.
That was cool. People go, oh, that,
maybe next time.
But, but your cheeks weren't fucking out.
No, of course not, because that's not what the match called for.
Yeah.
No match should call for Juicy's cheeks.
No, really. You're fucking...
some matches might call for Juicy's
cheeks. You know, I say often, if someone came up to me and said, I do a stink face, I'd be like, that's fuck off. Like, that's not happening. I'd be like, I'm not taking that shit. You crazy? I've seen wrestlers' asses. But I tell people, they're like, yeah, cool. I'm like, you're dumb. I would have... I can tell you one story. I was wrestling a guy called BJ Hudson, who's a lovely, lovely bloke. I love him to death. He's a wrestler in Melbourne who's like in and out of the scene. He's a really small guy and just happily does his job. Like, he doesn't have any grand, you know, visions of grandeur. So we're doing this match and I'm like, stink face, boom, give it to him. And one ass cheek hits the left side of his face.
Oh, when does your crack go?
The other one opens.
Oh, no.
And I feel nose and top lip on my hole as the other one comes down the other side of his face. And I've gone, I'm here now. And I turn around he's honestly just like, he's like, fuck my life. Like, what have I done to deserve this?
And he had
the
job to you as well.
Yeah, he did. And honestly, I miss him the next time. I'm so sorry. It's like, look, it happens. And it was clean, so it was fine. I'm just like, I just slipped and it just opened on him. So,
how does your missus feel about you sticking your ass?
She doesn't come. She's only ever watched me wrestle twice in the.
Really?
I won't say how long we've dated because it might incriminate me. But she's only come. She doesn't like wrestling. I don't force her to come watch it. She gets anxious when she watches me wrestle, so I don't. I'd like her to. I would. But
she accepts the fact that it is one of the great loves in your life other than her.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, fuck her. No, she does.
I could marry wrestling, I would.
She accepts that I do it and doesn't say don't do it, doesn't say, you know, doesn't like when I'm coming home and I've got stitches or anything, but she understands it's just part of the business, I guess.
The fact that she doesn't complain about it, that means she's a keeper.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, I could tell you some things I've done. Nothing fucking overly bad, but like yeah. I've had a house full of wrestlers who are unwashed and fucking stink of fake tan and shit, and she's not said a word. So yeah. Like, really, I can't really complain.
It's a lot like my wife. I mean, we do this a lot, and I'm out all hours of the night. Reawakening, I think I'll go home like 2 a.m. or some bullshit, and I come to all these shows, and she doesn't understand much of it.
Mm. Yeah.
She might give me a bit of shit when I come home too late.
But that's about it.
Yeah, but she knows I do it. She knows I love it. And
oh, good.
I say, look, I've got a show this day. We're doing all this. What time are you going? Oh, I've got to be there 2 o'clock. What time does the show start? Oh, about 7.
Yeah. Why are you there so early? Yeah.
All right, then.
You just have to be.
Well, that's the thing. On your anniversary, you thanked her on Facebook and all that stuff. And then I thanked her as well for letting me come out and play wrestling with me.
Good.
He's my road wife.
Yeah. Oh. Everyone needs a work.
You know, Carney's going to hear that and fucking use it as ammunition.
They probably hope.
Fucking hell.
Let's talk about your road wife, shall we?
Which one? I've got a couple.
Let's talk about the one that looks like the Incredible Hulk.
Which one? There's a lot of them.
Mr. Sexton.
Ah! Sexton. I've told this story a few times. I'll tell you how Sexton and I met. He had a girlfriend that I thought was really good looking. So I thought, why not surprise her with a picture of my dick? So I sent her a picture of my dick, as you do. And I got to tell you, she didn't respond very well. And then a year later, I was on Facebook, I think Facebook only just sort of gone popular. And Elliot Sexton, I'd written something on someone's post, and Elliot Sexton wrote, "Hey, that's that Gambino guy. He sends photos of his dick to my girlfriend." And I just wrote back, "Yep, that's me. And he went, "Yeah, that's cool. Want to be friends." And we were friends after.
Friend request.
Yeah, we were literally friends. I don't know how that, but we were friends after that. And then he's like, "Come stay at my house with the girlfriend you sent a dick pic to."
Maybe your dick made his dick look really good.
I guarantee it did. I've seen his. Fucking Lord Almighty.
His dick has muscles.
Yeah. And like, and we were friends after that. And then like, he moved to Melbourne and I was very fat at the stage. He's like, "Hey, I'm sort of at a gym that's near your house. Do you want to come and work out?" I'm like, "Cool." And he started me on my sort of journey, as a lot of people don't like to call it, but he started me on my sort of path, if you will, to weight loss. And I owe him a lot for that. And then we're just like, "Cool, we can make money together by selling DVDs and T-shirts." And we did. So, it's awesome.
And Weekend Warriors came from there then.
Yeah, yes. Weekend Warriors won. And he came up with the idea. And I'm like, "That means I have to see you." So, yeah. So we did Weekend Warriors 1 and it was successful. And I'm like, "Let's do number 2. And then we're filming number 3, but fuck.
Oh, there we go.
Number 3. Yeah, exclusive. Number 3 is coming out. It's about our road. It's called Weekend Warriors Road Warriors.
Beyond Thunder Juice.
Yeah, something like that. So it's,
I like Beyond Thunder Juice.
Actually, I'm going to steal that. That'll be number 4. That'll be number 4. So, yeah, it should be good.
Cool.
That's our friendship in a nutshell, I guess.
Because I was going to say, from watching, I watched number 2 finally just last week. I got it. And it seems you two definitely do have a love-hate relationship.
Oh, definitely.
At times, yeah, which a lot of
everyone
good
does.
Friendships
yeah.
do.
Yeah, and look, we know each other's boundaries and we push them. We push them to the limit. We absolutely do.
Yeah, you've got to cross those lines.
And then, like, I think, but we're also both very paranoid and anxious people. So I'm like, "He's talking about me there." And then he's like, "He's not out here." Yeah. So he's now dating Evie.
Yep.
Who's a very famous female wrestler from New Zealand. Her and I love each other. Well, I hope she does. But we're very good. So now her and I hang out and he's like, "I'll just come along then, shall I?" Yeah. So it's become like he just feels like I'm only hanging out for her, which is true.
Well, you've got to start sending her dick pics as well.
No, no, she'll kill me. She kicked the fuck out of me. Jesus Christ.
She's a tough nut.
She is, and she's so lovely. Lovely.
No.
What have you got there, dude?
What's next?
Basically, yeah, I want to talk about JXT and Juice XT, the MCW Tag Team Champions.
Oh, well, let's start from the start.
Yeah, okay. How did you two hook up?
Oh, what's going on? Let me tell you about old Tits, as I like to call him. I call him Tits because it started off as JXT, then JX Tits, and now it's Tits. And I call him Tits during matches. And by accident, I'm like, "Come on, Tits. Fuck." No, that's wrong.
"Come on, Tits.
Fuck. I mean, JXT, everyone." Hey. So, JXT.
You start a chant for that when he comes out.
Yeah, Tits.
"Come on, Tits. Come on, Tits."
So, I first heard of JXT. He was working at a promotion called NAW, which wasn't known for its sort of.
No.
Classic wrestling. Mm. Had a lot of different people, different sort of levels of good and bad. Yep. And he was one of the better ones that we heard of, and he decided it was a really good idea to do a shoot interview with a bloke called Andy Rhodes, who was also another wrestler at NAW.
Okay.
And it didn't go over well with a lot of people. A lot of people didn't like him because of it. But I sort of saw what he was trying to say. He really wasn't... He kind of sort of, if I remember correctly, he was sort of saying along the lines that no one in Australia really can say they're successful when they're not got contracts.
Yeah.
I don't think he meant it in that way as we sort of hear it, but I think he was trying to say, like, well, how can we listen to each other when no one's actually gone and done it?
Yeah.
But perception's a real son of a bitch
when
you're just hearing someone say something for the first
time. That's right. So I sort of defended him just a tiny bit online, where I was like, hey, I think this kid's just trying to say something different. Yeah. Anyway, he eventually got a spot on MCW, and it was the show. It was me, Crackerjack, and Bob Holly in like a main event sort of gimmick.
As in the Bob Holly?
Yeah, the Bob Holly. Okay. Yeah, actual Bob Holly.
Yeah.
No, legitimately, like Bob, who... I won't say because he worked a promotion. Let's not get into that.
Okay.
The other one in Perth. Oh. Anyway.
Which one?
Bob Holly came along and we did that spot. Anyway, so I'm in the change room getting ready. And I was in the sort of with the water basins on. I'm sort of wetting my hair. And I was whistling a song. I think it was like Sandstorm by Jeru, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, that one. So I was whistling that, and Jake's coming for a wee, and I was whistling, and all I hear from the cubicle is, fuck, I can't even fucking piss, someone has to whistle. And I'm like, who is this dumb fuck? And I turn around, and it's old fucking tits, right? And I'm like, sorry, mate. He's like, I'm just trying to piss. And I'm like, all right, sick cunt. So he goes and sits, puts his headphones in his ear, and I'm like, fuck this guy. What a turd. Like, I couldn't stand him. I'm going to be honest. I could not fucking stand him. And he knows. I've told him 100 times. And he defends it. Oh, I didn't mean it that way. I come across abrupt. Yeah, because you're a dickhead, right? So anyway, him and I trained a little bit together, did some stuff, and I got to know him, and he was a really nice kid. Like, he's such a cool dude, and I'm like, I like you. Like, we can hang out a bit more. And not overly loved him, though. So that sort of was happening. And then the bookers at MCW are like, listen, he's the most overfaced. You're the most overfaced. What if we put you together? It's going to be like the mega powers. Yeah. And I'm like, nah. I'm like, no way. I'm like, he's a young kid who looks 10 times better than me. He's going to take everything I've ever had and make it his own. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. And they're like, no, trust us. I'm like, and to their fucking credit, we walked out the first show as Juice XT. Okay, going back to the name.
Yeah.
I was talking to the book. I'm like, what are we going to call ourselves? And he's like, I don't know. I think it's something good. I'm like, Juice XT. He's like, that is shit. Do not call yourself Juice XT. I'm like, yeah, that's so bad. Here comes Juice XT. Yeah, fuck. So,
it works.
It works. And we got this pop, and I'm like, holy fuck, this did work. And I'm like, you can stay, kid. And my fiance thinks he's so fucking good looking. Oh. He looks like Justin Bieber.
No.
Anyway, so
now... You know what I said about it being a keeper?
Jake's T's defense, I'm going to tell you something I haven't told to him, but I haven't told him because fuck him. He is legitimately one of the best... networkers, the hardest training guy, and probably the most improved I've ever seen. That kid, if he meets someone, he makes sure at the end of the day they know who he is and how to contact him, and he knows who they are and how to contact them.
And in this business, that's pretty.
That's pretty big.
Evil asset.
He is definitely one that we're going to be sitting here doing a podcast in 5 years' time, God willing. Going, do you remember that Juice XT kid? And now he's fucking at WWE, and I'll be like, I'm still here. Yeah, I'm telling you, I bet my bottom dollar that he will be signed one day.
Well, we need to try and get him before he goes at WWE, because that's the problem we had. We missed out on with Shane. We were trying to get Shane and Mikey, so we're just like,
Shane never talked to us.
Yeah,
do you blame him? Really? No. But
Shane just every time Shane saw us, even if the mic was not, he just completely no sold us.
He's such a cocky.
But yeah, JXT will be signed, and I promise. And I want to be quoted in saying that one day.
I saw a match from last year that he had with Marcus Pitt. And that, that was a killer match. And
that was the same night that me and Dowie wrestled.
Yeah. And then he came out here for, I think, was it Road for Glory or Road to Glory? One of those top ones. He teamed up with Emmanuel.
Yes. Another fucking awesome aspect.
Man, the way that prospect. Yeah, the way that kid works a crowd. And he that
gets
that,
it.
That dude is over, man.
100% gets it.
He does. And then as speaking of gets it, the guy who just walked in, he's
is that fully, another coffee?
Yeah.
I get a coffee.
He gets a coffee. I think Jack's here may be in the same vein as David Storm as far as the, getting every aspect of the business.
David Storm wishes. You wish you
were trying to be nice, man. I'm trying to be nice.
I would be younger and fitter.
And your dick would work.
Not editing
two kids,
that.
We're done, all right? Yeah.
I don't have to do it anymore.
Doesn't need to. It just needs to piss.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm not going to edit that bit out.
No, thank you. What's next on your list of things?
Oh, well, list of things. Okay. Where did you come up with the name The Juicy Balls with Wrecking Ball? Wrecking Ball Wilson in Wrestle Rampage.
Well, that was another sort of thing. I was doing the very comedy stuff because I was very overweight. I was about 160 kilos at this stage, so really heavy. And I was being booked by Wrestle Rampage. I was like, just do comedy. Can we put me with someone who does stuff?
Yeah.
And Wrecking Ball does. He's such a hard worker. He does a lot of stuff. So Wrecking Ball's like, yep, mate. And I'm like, cool. Let's see if this works. And we're like, what should we call ourselves? And someone said Juicy Balls. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. There's the comedy aspect straight off. So we came out, same thing. Bang, hey. Pop. And I'm like, holy fucking shit. So we're just like, cool. I'm sticking with this. And Wrecking Ball was really happy that he had someone that he had to do less for. Because I just went out and went, this is me, look at me. Then he went, kill everyone, back to me. And he's like, awesome. Like, he doesn't have to do anything and I just talk on the mic for him. So yeah, I really enjoyed my time with Wrecking Ball. I honestly wish it kept going because it was really easy stuff and I never had to wrestle Wrecking Ball because he'd kill me. Like, with one blow to the head.
Name and wrestling ability. Wrecking Balls. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, now, last year's PWI 500, right?
Yes.
Some people put a lot of stock in that, other people not so much, right? There's a bloke called Dick Justice on there.
Yes.
So, you know.
But I only just recently discovered who he is because someone said, who's going to rank higher, Mr. Juicy or Dick Justice? I'm like, who the fuck's Dick Justice?
we read that.
You've also got Cheeseburger on there as well, for fuck's sake.
Cheeseburger also in New Japan Wrestle Kingdom. I don't give a fuck.
He's awesome.
Fuck him. No, don't even.
But last year, you were 469.
Yes.
So you're only one of...
69.
Hey.
Only one of, I think, was it four or five Australians on
it? Five, I think.
Jag.
Jag,
Shane Mikey. Shane Mikey and yourself.
Yeah, Jermaine was on there.
No, I think Jonah might have been on there.
No, I don't think he's ever been on it.
I don't know.
Who knows? Everybody's got shrugging shoulders. But anyway.
Here's the thing about that PWI list, right?
It's very kayfabe.
If you're not on it, no one gives a fuck about the list.
Yeah.
And if you are on it, the list is the biggest deal in the world and it's legitimate.
Well, it's funny. When I first went on it in 2014, I was 496.
Moving up in the world.
Yeah, I did move up.
Kilos?
Yeah.
I'm out.
Bye, Dave. David Storm, ladies and gentlemen.
I was number 496. And people were claiming I paid to get on the list.
How the fuck?
And
Bill Apter, you don't even have Bill Apter's B-pay number.
Why would I fucking pay to be on that list? Anyway, so this is what pretty much happened.
Control yourself.
I'm trying.
I posted... Oh, there's a fire in my area. Okay. I posted a video off YouTube of Mr. Juicy tries to join TMDK Gangman Style, right? Have you guys seen it?
No, but we're going to look that up.
You must. It's so amazing. It's one of my favourite promos.
Juicy joins TMDK Gangman Style.
So what happens is Shane and Mike come to... fuck, you send it again. So they come to Melbourne and J-Rock is not available, so Elliot Sexton is looking for a new member of TMDK, so I decide it's me who's going to join.
Yep.
Obviously, I can't join as a wrestler because I'm not very good. What if I try other jobs? So I try to become the TMDK chef, the TMDK bodyguard, all these other things, and then eventually breaks down into a dancing musical. Right?
What could possibly go wrong?
Have you got Wi-Fi on this?
This has got awesome.
Okay, as soon as we finish this podcast, we'll watch it.
We'll have to put the link up on the webpage.
So I posted it on my page, on my Twitter, and Shane and Mike shared it, which obviously got a lot more fucking views. But at the time, it had about 5,500 views, and it then bumped up to like 8,000 once they shared it. So it was huge. Well, not huge, but it's pretty, for Australian wrestling, it's awesome. And someone contacted me, and they're like, are you the Mr. Juicy in this video? I'm like, yep, that's me.
I love your gimmick.
And no, it was this it was this woman. Her name is Brandy, and she's like, I write for PWI, and she's like, this is the greatest promo I've ever watched in wrestling, and I'm like, that's a big compliment.
Wow.
Thank you.
And I'm like, thank you. And I'm like, it's all like, she's like, no, you definitely were the standout in this. She goes, look, have you ever heard of the PWI 500 or something? I'm like, of course not.
No?
No.
What is that?
What is that? Some kind of thing? Of course I have.
Sounds like a list.
And she's like, I don't care what happens, you'll be on that list. And I'm like, I was like, cool. I'm like, I've never met this lady. Yeah. She could be lying.
She slots me into 500. That's cool.
Yeah. I thought 500, honestly. Yeah. And I thought, how good is that? And, She's like, you shit all over Grado. I'm like, oh, well, I'm like, take it easy, love. And she's like, no. Like,
only Grado hear that.
She's like, she's like, you need to come to the States. You need to do some kind of tour. Like, this is amazing, blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, I ended up on the list. Her and I have become really good friends since. Mm. And she's always saying, you got to come. And eventually, I think I'm just going to have to. But it was a really, one promo got me on a list. Like, I didn't even see any of my work, and a promo got me on the list.
That's just fucking amazing.
That's incredible.
The rub of TMDK, that's what it is.
See, where we could have been if bloody Shane had just spoken one word.
I know. Exactly. One word, that's all you ever needed.
God damn it, Shane.
Well, he said two words to us, fucking off.
Yeah, that's good. That's fair.
Well, I did call him a cockhead the other time.
That's true, yeah.
What's next?
What else you got?
I don't know.
How long have we been going here? Been going for 50 minutes.
We're just shooting the shit. All right, what are your goals for the future, Mr. Juicy?
Well,
where do you see yourself in 5 days?
5 days.
He's back home. In a few years, what do you want? Do you want to headline? Do you want to get the MCW title? Where do you want to go?
Well, last year I set myself a couple of goals, and I don't want to speak too soon, but I'm hoping that those two goals come to fruition. Is that the word?
Fruition,
yes.
I'm dyslexic.
You're on fire tonight, man.
You're doing pretty good so far.
One of them involves EPW, and one of them involves MCW. Yep. And hopefully everything's looking fine at this moment, so let's hope that sort of keeps up. So short term, that's what I've got. And I try to set myself goals with different promotions because it motivates me.
Yeah.
Because I go to the gym and go, fuck, I've got this in so many months. I need to be in shape, or I need to be better at this. So I'll train at that. So it's a motivation. Long term, I'll tell you a bit of a story. I used to do a podcast called the DCW Variety Hour. Don't look it up.
Okay.
It's with Chris Fresh, Sebastian Walker, George Demiroff. And Michael Ty,
I don't think we've even ever done a show under an hour. We wouldn't cut it.
No, it was never under an hour. Oh,
okay.
But what that was us literally shit-canning everything that ever existed in Australian wrestling. So you can imagine how many people liked me by the end of it. Not many is the answer. So the variety hour was great. Anyway, I said some things jokingly that were taken very seriously. I've said this a few times on podcasts. I don't want to say it, but I will.
What if we preface by saying Juicy is joking from here?
No, I'm not. This is dead serious. I'm going to say people because persons is pretty direct. But there's people in wrestling all over the world that their main goal isn't about making shows better or promoting well or being a better wrestler. Their main goal is to cause trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You all had them at high school where it'll be the girl who cried wolf.
Yeah.
Oh, they said this about you. Actually, no, I didn't, but I can't wait for the fight to start in the car park because this idiot spread words about me.
And you have them in every industry, you know, in the workplace. You've got them there, the shit stirrers.
Yeah.
That's it.
But there's some real vindictive cunts in this industry. And one of them took what I said out of context and spread it around. And I actually said to these people a few years later, did you ever listen to the actual show where this person told you I said this?
Mm.
Oh, no, but they told me you said it. Maybe listen to it next time.
Yeah, that goes a long way.
Anyway, this is just going back to future goals. This is how I like to extend things, like my matches. Someone took something I said out of context, and this person wanted to fight me at a show. And I was like, whoa, hold on there, big fella. We're fucking not even fighting here.
Yeah.
Anyway, this person pulled me aside and said, just so you know, I have a lot of control in Japan, and you will never work there. And I believed it at the time because I thought this person did have a lot of control in Japan. Yeah. And now I've discovered there's a lot of other good guys that I work for now that have control in Japan that I'm just going to be like, well, I'd rather go with them.
Yeah.
So my goal is if I don't wrestle in Japan in the next 2 years, I'll kill myself. I don't know. Is that statue drastic?
You've got the exclusive here from Drawing Heat.
If you don't see Mr. Juicy in a Japan show in the next couple of years, you know where to find him.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I'll
6 feet under.
Yeah. I'm 30 next year. That's old.
Old?
It's old.
Oh, you're a young pup.
I'm 34 on Tuesday. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank
yay.
You.
I won't tell you how old I fucking am.
Yeah, so I'm,
he's 40 at State of Origin.
You look 39.
Thank you.
He looks like Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Oh, terrible. So my long-term goal is to do a tour in Japan successfully. I feel like what I do is something I can do overseas successfully.
Would that be aiming for like Noah or
I must
aim for the top?
I'll be honest with everyone on this podcast. I tried to get to Noah last year.
Yep.
Sent a lot of stuff. Had a lot of people vouching for me. Mm-hmm. They just weren't interested. I don't think I'm going to be able to go there first. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to have to look at somewhere. Not that it's anything wrong with these promotions, but the DDTs, the Diamond Rings, the Dragon Gates, where they do what I do, which is mainly comedy wrestling.
I'm going to say DDT. You can,
and look. The thing that upsets me with comedy wrestling is people go, oh, but it's easy. It's fucking not.
No.
You do it, and if your timing's not on, and if you don't have a new spot every time you go somewhere, you're going to fucking drown real quickly. Like, laughs are harder to come by than pops are.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've got it to a point where I can do it easily, but I need to improve. I need more. I need to be challenged, and that's what I ask for from promote. Challenge me. Give me something that's going to make me think, because I don't want to do the same spot over and over again.
You can go to DDT and you can take the U-Porn Plex and make it look like a credible move.
I would happily. You know, like I see guys like Joey Ryan, who are just fantastic at what they do.
Oh, he is. That's the thing. He is such a good worker.
And he and Colt Cabana and Ebisan and Kit Kataro and, you know, Grado. Now, Grado's exploded from something so simple. I see them now doing legitimate feds like PWG and TNA and tours around the US, and I'm like, I could easily fit into that tour. But again, staying humble. I feel like I can slip. So that's my goal, is to be... this is what I once said on a podcast a year ago. I think it was Dave Storm's podcast. If there was a wrestling Olympics and someone had to represent Australia in comedy wrestling, I want there to be no doubt in this country. If they ask anyone, be a wrestler, fan, promoter, they'd say Mr. Juicy. That's my goal. Because it wouldn't happen now. Something like, oh, that guy's funny too, and that guy does this. No, I want you to just go, oh, no, we have to take Mr. Juicy.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
I think the reason why you're so popular around the country and everywhere else goes back to something you said on Dave's podcast, because I listened to that one.
Yep.
You see, you're very relatable as far as... A lot of people see the wrestlers and they go, oh, fucking...
Yeah.
They're up here, they're all special dudes. But to listen to you speak about how, like your career and your fears, your anxieties and all this stuff, you made yourself very relatable to not only me, but to, I guess, to everybody who listened to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was very eye-opening.
This is what we forget. 80% of the population suffers from some form of anxiety. Some are worse than others. Yeah. I've had two coffees today. I'm going to be fucking jumping out of my eyeballs tonight in anxiety. But I've learned how to deal with it. And
that's the key.
I think if I can pass that on even to one person and say, hey, I can do what I still want to and I'm fucking dying inside, you can fucking get out of the house today.
Yeah, because when I was listening to that thing, I'm thinking, I'm hearing you and I'm going, that was me.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That was me a few years ago where I couldn't fucking leave the house.
Yeah,
I was anxiety attacks everywhere, fucking going, I'm freaking the fuck out. But now I'm able to come out, I'm doing this, I'm doing these podcasts, I'm going to all the shows, talking to these new people.
You have to force yourself.
You do. You get to a point, and then once you've done it once, you've done it twice, and if you have a bit of a SPAC attack, you can go back into your memory and say, well, I've done this already, I can do it again.
Is that the medical term, isn't it?
SPAC attack,
But you know, only for those who have suffered can actually describe it as a SPAC attack.
The thing is, a lot of people go like... oh, it's not as easy as just going out. I know it's not. I know, but if I didn't, I'd still be at home in a blanket jerking off lots. Like,
I still
jerk off lots, yeah. But, like, you need to...
It helps, it's relaxing.
You need to step out of your comfort zone as often as possible because it makes your comfort zone bigger.
Yes.
Mm. When I was a teenager, I never went to parties because I was so scared I was going to get beat up. My dad put so much fear into me. Not that he beat me up. Yeah. He did. But, like, he used to tell me, if you go to the city, someone's going to bash you. And then I was like, oh, I better not go. Like, once... Kane and Triple H were in the city signing DVDs, and my mates, let's go. I'm like, yes. And then the day came, like, no, they're going to bash me if I go, help. And then it was the worst. The one day I went, no, fuck, I'm going to the city, someone trying to bash me. So what I'm saying is, my dad's a very anxious person. Like, he thinks the world's always going to fall apart. He's Chicken Little, even though he looks like Saddam Hussein. And he's always like, I tell you, you go to the city, crazy people, they kill you. And I'm just like, all right, Dad, just fucking shut up and eat salami. So I'm just like, and even now, he calls me now, and he's just like, okay, there's like a store closing down in near my house. And he calls me, he's like, I'm here, calls it, Dad, you have to buy jeans. I'm like, I've got jeans. Not jeans, not this one, Chip. I got thongs. I don't need thongs, it's winter. But they're going to close. Oh, fuck, just get them. Hang up, fuck. Stop.
So, has he ever threatened to break your back and make you humble?
No, he hasn't, but the way he's just like, oh, they kill everyone. What?
Seeing you brought that up, I was going to mention to this to you after we finished, but I made a real bad faux pas.
Oh, God.
I had this old, it was like a bootleg Iron Sheik shirt that was like a Bali shirt.
Why didn't you bring it?
Problem is, because here's the problem number one. I accidentally put it in a bag of clothing that was going to the Salvo.
Oh, you ruined it.
I'm moving house soon. I was clearing out my floor drawer. That's the problem number one. I put it in one of those bins. Problem number two is I put it in the bin for the Spine and Limb Foundation. And the problem is that this shirt has written on it, I will break your back and make you humble.
Oh, my fucking God.
You cannot make that shit up.
No. As soon as I did it, I was like, oh, no.
What have I done?
I'm just hoping that there's nothing else in that bag that
I want to see you
might have had my name or address written on it. How awful
that's
is that?
That's so horrible. Oh, my God.
I'm wearing the multiple sclerosis TMDK shirt, so we're kind of balancing out the good with the really bad.
And that's the thing, because I'd put one bag in the good Sammy's bin, and then that one was full. I couldn't get any more in there, so I had to go to the next one along. I didn't even really look at it until I chucked it in, and then I saw it there, and I was like, oh shit.
No.
That had the Sheik shirt in there. Oh, no. So if you do work,
you end up in a current affair or something.
If you do work for the Spine and Limb Foundation and you do find that shirt, I do deeply, deeply apologise.
Oh, Lord Almighty!
You've gone straight to hell.
Yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
So long story short,
where were we?
Japan.
So I thought it was Saddam Hussein. Sorry,
but I'm going to that. I had a. Oh, that's all right. Just don't worry about that bit.
No, go ahead.
No, I don't want to say.
No, Japan. Go to Japan. Go on.
No, that's where I just want to be. Simple.
You just want to go to
that's
Japan.
That's the goal. We want to go to Japan.
I like sushi and asahi a lot.
I think your style will fit well in Japan, even New Japan or Noah or anything. Because you look like Yano. What's his name, Yano?
Yano's fantastic. Mm. Yeah, I think you're really like enjoy him. Yano. Mm. I would love to believe that one day it will be me on Wrestle Kingdom and not Shane and Mike. Like, watching them was like a fucking... It blew my mind. But I hope one day that I can do that. I really do. Mm. And you know what sort of made me... I felt like, fuck, I'm coming towards the end of what I can do. And then I realised Samoa Joe's 37 and only just got signed to the WWE.
And Naka just beat him today.
God bless him. Yeah. So...
can start the Juicy Club.
As long as my body holds up, I think I'll keep going. But then I think, fuck, one day I'm going to have kids, and God forbid there's an accident and I end up in a wheelchair. Mm. It's going to be really hard to explain that Daddy did that for very little money, you know? And that's also my concern. But look, at the end of the day, I'm not doing fucking brain busters on the apron, so hopefully I should be
fine.
You're
playing it safe.
Yeah.
I mean, like Yano, you can go show your DVDs, man.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. God bless him, Batman. What's next?
You got anything there? Or?
Well, basically, we're covered on my shit.
You're covered there?
Right. I know you've got something.
We've got one last thing that we're going to get some word association that we'd like to do with our guests.
I'm keen.
Okay? So, first thing that comes to your head when we say these, okay?
Oh.
You might have covered already some of these, but
that's
go,
cool.
Go with something
MCW.
Else.
Home.
Stormy.
Best friend.
He's not behind you, you know.
No, he's not. No, you don't have to say that. Dowie James.
Competition. Competition.
Yeah. Chicken.
Chicken? I love chicken.
Oh, we got a story we heard from about you. About nuggets. We'll tell you that
now. Oh, Lord. That sounded... we had a story about you, kitty toucher. What?
But McMassive told us a story about some chicken nuggets when they were on the show.
Someone's going to fucking walk... Is it with Chris Hansen? Come talk to me. What, is this what all it was? It wasn't even a podcast.
Kitty nuggets.
Oh, fuck.
Go ahead. Keep
next.
Going.
JXT.
Tits.
Travis Banks.
Best friend.
Yep.
How many best friends you got?
I got a lot of best friends.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, okay. Evie.
Oh, love of my life. Honestly, that woman.
Muffins.
Muff dog. Muffins. That's all. Just muffins.
Just
muffins. Is
just muffins. And finally, Sexton.
Ah.
And you can't use
best friend.
I know what word you have used for him once before.
I'm gonna.
You asked to describe him in one word.
What did I say?
In Weekend Warriors 2.
What did I say?
If
cunt.
No, dickhead.
I'm gonna say. You know what? That's so spot on. But I love him. He's a lovable dickhead. Honestly, so many people are like, I hate sex. I love sex because he's a dickhead.
He does seem like a good dude.
He is a good dude. He is.
On the social medias and stuff, man, he seems like a good bloke.
Anxious best friend dickhead. There we go.
You need to bring him with you next time you're back in.
Yeah, so you know what? He
sit down with both
Richie's
of you.
Pissed off I'm here. So what's this? I touch kids with nuggets. What's happening?
No. We had McMassive on the show and tell us.
Did he talk about me?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't listen.
No. We should have put that on the description.
Yeah. I'm telling you, tag the people I talk about in the description, you'll get a lot more listeners.
Yeah.
Dowie, James, JXT, Alex, Sex.
Okay, I will do that when
that's the trick.
Tag
when I put it on the Facebook, so I'll tag all these.
Yes, yeah. That's the best way to do it.
Anyway, so
because then their friends see it and go, oh, they're talking about him. I'll listen.
So hopefully
they'll share it out. Yeah.
Yes, I'll share it.
Oh, of course. They're talking about after the Wrestle Ramp. Was it after the Wrestle Rampage show?
No, when they were MCW.
They just came back from
McDonald's.
MCW.
Yes.
And now at Macca's after the show, and you're asking anybody if they'd gotten any nuggets.
Okay, the reason
that look at his face so that I remember.
He
this
knows
now.
The reason being is I've started Mikey Broderick, who's a wrestler from Canberra now. We wrestled Wrestle Rampage.
They have people other than politicians there?
Yes.
Wow.
So we all, we're all following his diet, right? Which is tough. And my theory is, if I don't buy it for myself, it doesn't count as calories.
I like that theory.
And everyone had nugget. I'm like, have a nugget? Nugget? It was like heroin. I was like, just one nugget.
that's exactly how Gav described it as well.
It was like heroin.
Yeah.
I eventually got six nuggets out of it. So I had six nuggets that didn't count on my calories.
Well,
we'll go
after the show. We'll buy him some nuggets after tonight.
Hey, I mean, if someone brings nuggets, it's not going to go out tonight. Whenever I wrestle, bring me nuggets.
Yeah. Just don't throw them at him.
We did bring you some fairy bread, but I left it in the car.
Yeah, now I'm not eating fucking. I'm very conscious of food health safety standards.
Yes, I know that. That's why I mentioned chicken.
That butter is fucking churned now. I'm dying because of you.
It hasn't been sitting in the car like the entire day.
It doesn't matter.
I think we should go out and have someone put our crap back.
Oh God! Thank
you. If you see us puking in the bar section later,
no, why? You know? Oh, beer would be good. Next time, give me a beer.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Juicy, thank you so much for coming here to join us.
I hope it was everything you didn't want
and more.
And more. Excellent. Thank you again.
We definitely. Hopefully, you do come back to Perth. And
I promise I'll be back
with
you
again. There we go. That's good.
Before we go, though, we do have to give a plug to our unofficial official sponsor for tonight.
No, wait, is it our unofficial official sponsor or official unofficial sponsor? I can't remember.
I don't know. Banger Photography.
Oh, God bless McGacken.
Yeah, he's not in the room.
He's sponsoring the show tonight. He might be giving us a few photos. Big fairy clap for
him. I think our official unofficial sponsor is Monteith's Crushed Apple Cider.
Yes.
And our unofficial official sponsor is Banger Photography.
Thank you, McGacken.
Yeah. Now, you've had a few happy snaps taken with Banger before, and they look great.
Yep.
Hopefully he's going to make us look great today.
I hope he doesn't plan on doing like one of his boudoir shots.
How good are they? I was going to say I might link to one of them. I'm like, oh, fuck.
We are still recording, by the way.
Very good photos of women's
bouquets. Check them out on Facebook. Was it Bang 3R?
Bang 3R, yeah.
Photography.
Bless him.
He doesn't like the letter E.
Yes. And once again, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We will have our Collision Course recap show coming up later on at some stage because I'm moving house at the moment, so we've got to find.
So if you see Beach kicking a can along the street, you know what he's doing.
Yeah, it means I haven't found the house yet and I'm out.
Good.
Until then, thanks for joining us. And remember, we're not like the other guys,
but we do know wrestling. Whoop on Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. 낮에는 따사로운 인간적인 여자. 커피 한 잔에 여유를 아는 품격 있는 여자. 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자. 그런 반전 있는 여자. 나는 선호해. 낮에는 너만큼 따사로운 그런 선호해. 커피 식기도 전에 원샷 때리는 선호해. 밤이 오면 심장이
Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Oppan Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.